Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Our neighbors in St. Louis and Kansas City are two of 25 cities in the U.S. to get a perfect score on the 2013 Municipal Equality Index, or MEI. The MEI is conducted by a national organization working for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender equality. The study looks at equality issues, including non-discrimination policies, in cities and states. KBIA's Andrew Kaufman has this report.
The Human Rights Campaign's Municipal Equality Index is the nation's only rating system of LGBT inclusion. The study looked at 291 cities across the nation, including five in Missouri, rating each city 1 through 100. Catherine Oakley is the author of the index. She says she is very impressed with Missouri.
One of the really great things about this project is that it really highlights the hard work that cities are doing, and I think, you know, having two 100-point cities in Missouri is a really big deal.
Oakley also says she has worked closely with PROMO, a Missouri statewide organization advocating LGBT equality. Katie Stuckenschneider is a spokesperson with PROMO. She says Missouri is one of three states to have two cities reach a perfect score, but the other two states, California and Massachusetts, have marriage equality and non-discrimination protections statewide.
We don't have either of those in Missouri. So really big for us that both St. Louis and Kansas City scored so well.
The study also looked at Columbia, Jefferson City, and Springfield. Columbia scored a 74, while Jefferson City and Springfield scored a 12 and 37 respectively. But the executive director of Missourians for Equality, Aaron Mallon, says these numbers don't always reflect a city's real atmosphere.
I think that the index scores have value, but I don't think that they are the Bible of LGBT equality.
Mallon says the data is more to show the progress being made in each city, but Oakley says it can also give people in the LGBT community a perspective on which cities take marriage equality more seriously.
For an LGBT person who is looking at moving to Missouri, I think these numbers are something that they're going to really want to take a long look at when they decide where they're going to want to go.
Oakley says she hopes to include even more cities in next year's edition. Andrew Kaufman, KBIA News.
Many farmers irrigate their fields with river or groundwater to grow their crops. But across the Midwest, farmers are taking a harder look at their water usage. In Nebraska, which leads the nation in the number of irrigated acres, farmers have had to become more efficient as water grows scarcer. For Harvest Public Media, Ariana Brocious reports.
A water pump hums noisily, feeding a center pivot in a field in south-central Nebraska. It can draw water from the Platte River, so-called surface water, but Scott Ford, a third-generation corn and soybean producer who farms here, says this year he relied more on pumping groundwater.
Last year, three-quarters of the water through that pivot was surface water. This year, with the allocations, you know, and the continued drought, it was the other way around.
Those allocations were reductions in Platte River water from Central Nebraska Public Power and Irrigation District. David Ford, who happens to be Scott's uncle, is Central's Irrigation Division Manager.
2014 will be the seventh out of the last 10 years that we've had to reduce our deliveries to our customers. Before that, we'd never done that in the history of the district.
The drought, coupled with the last decade's record low water levels at Lake McConaughey, the state's biggest water storage reservoir, forced the reductions. Central's David Ford says his customers used less water in 2012 than they did 20 years ago.
A lot of our producers look at the water as an input. You know, you measure the fertilizer you apply. You measure the number of seeds that you're putting per acre. Water is an input as well. And so you just need to make sure you're making the most of that water.
Because it costs money. As a child, farmer Scott Ford remembers seeing full ditches along roadsides and furrows flowing with water. Nowadays, he says ag producers conserve much more.
You still are going to need water to produce corn or soybeans. That's plain and simple. But people out here want to become more efficient.
Ford says his dual groundwater and surface water pivot pump is one way to be flexible, especially as farmers increasingly rely on the aquifer. Widespread use of center pivots has improved water efficiency, as have soil moisture sensors that let producers know how much water crops need. Another tool is called T-tape. It delivers water directly to crop roots through a series of underground tubes. Ford says it's gaining popularity, even though it costs two to three times more than a center pivot.
using the T-tape, we can be almost nearly 100% efficient. The biggest barrier is it is very costly. But I think as we see water become more crucial, I think that you're going to see more and more acres go to that type of technology too.
More efficient irrigation is one way to maximize water for agriculture, though it can mean less groundwater recharge. Another is engineering the crop itself.
One of the things we've learned in corn, we've seen it for the last 3 or 4 years, is that different corn hybrids like to be watered differently.
Chandler Mazur leads a tram tour at the Monsanto Water Utilization Learning Center in Gothenburg, a 300-acre research farm in central Nebraska. Monsanto's experimenting with hybrids that need less water and are genetically modified to resist pests. They're also using herbicides and no-till practices. Mazur shows off one such plot.
Where we let the weeds get away, we raised 6 bushels of corn. Last year, where we did everything right and raised 128 bushel corn, we had more stored soil moisture at the end of the year than where we did everything wrong.
Crop genetics and technology advances are nothing new to Midwest farmers. Mazur says if farmers can grow more crops per drop, they'll avoid the need to cut back on water used for agriculture.
If we can continue increasing production with the same water use that we have today, we would be quite successful.
But not everyone sees it that way. Mike Jess has been involved in Nebraska water affairs for most of his career, including serving as director of the state's Department of Natural Resources. He says water demands on the Platte River in western Nebraska already exceed supplies.
That has prompted the State Department of Natural Resources and a number of the natural resource districts to embark on programs to attempt to kind of back up the train to bring consumption more in line with native supplies.
In 2011 and 2012, severe drought forced the state of Kansas to restrict surface water rights on more than 500 users. In those dry years, some irrigators even borrowed water against their allocations for the following year. This year, timely rains helped significantly with surface water. Even still, some irrigators in northwest Kansas are planning to reduce their use by nearly 20% in the next 5 years. Jess says reducing water demands costs money and can be challenging, especially when there are other needs for municipalities, wildlife, and recreation.
Traditionally, there was a bit of tension among the environmental community and the traditional water consumers. The two sides have come to realize they need to work together, and they indeed are working together.
In Nebraska and across the Midwest, these tensions will only ratchet up, Jess says, especially in the face of a changing climate. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Ariana Brocious.
And that's it for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.